Good morning and thank you. My name is Karen Scherzinger, and I'm going to open here with some lovely pictures of the New Mexico landscape. My colleagues Joseph Beretta, Joan Baumbach, and I all work with the New Mexico Emerging Infections Program. I'm going to be talking today about invasive group B strep in non-pregnant adults in New Mexico. And how exactly does it? Oh, there we go. I have no financial relationships to disclose. However, I probably should disclose that I'm recovering from a cold. And you may see me drinking water and eating cough drops here. I'll try to speak loudly enough and into the microphone that you can hear me. So the New Mexico Emerging Infections Program is part of a 10-state active population-based surveillance network. The states that you see in yellow are participants, and it's roughly 46 million people, or about 15% of the U.S. population. The sites that were chosen are supposed to be representative of the U.S. population as a whole. We track foodborne disease, influenza hospitalizations, and certain invasive bacterial diseases like invasive group B strep disease. We have four surveillance officers that travel around our very large state and collect information from laboratory audits and do medical chart reviews. So today I'll be talking about invasive group B strep disease, which is actually not necessarily an outbreak-related disease, but it is Streptococcus agalactiae culture from a normally sterile site. So this is not group A strep, which normally causes strep throat and can be a factor in necrotizing fasciitis. It's actually a relatively common bacteria, and it doesn't generally cause a problem for people unless they have some underlying conditions, and can be normal flora in the gut and in the genitourinary tract. The only population for whom there's consistent monitoring is pregnant women at the end of their pregnancies, and the research shows that between 10 and 30% of those women are colonized with group B strep. And this is an issue because it can cause serious infection in newborn babies in the first days and weeks of life. So while most reviews focus on that newborn age group, I'm going to talk a little bit about adults. The literature has shown that adult rates actually have doubled between 1990 and 2007. And there are some factors that are associated with invasive group B strep infection. When you see GBS up there, that's group B strep. So older age, black race, and underlying medical conditions are associated with invasive group B strep. So this is surveillance data from 2004 to 2009. And our case definition was a sterile site culture of group B strep, so bloodstream infection or perhaps pleural fluid, in residents of New Mexico who were over age 18 or not pregnant, and they need to be 30 days postpartum. So our sample included 637 cases, so about 100 to 150 adult GBS cases per year. The median age was 61 years, and as this can be a very serious infection, it's no surprise that about 86% were hospitalized. So today, what I'm going to be doing is comparing U.S. and New Mexico invasive group B strep disease and describing the characteristics of patients with invasive group B strep, and then discuss some select groups at increased risk. So here's our yearly incidence. So on your horizontal axis, we have the year, and we have cases per 100,000, and all my rates will be per 100,000. For the US rates, we're using the 10-state EIP group because group B strep is not reportable in all states. So this is our best estimate. I should also mention that the 2009 US data is provisional. And you can see that New Mexico in orange and US in light blue are pretty comparable, between 6 and 9 cases per 100,000. We see an increasing trend by age group in both New Mexico and orange and in the US rate. So before I talk about race and ethnicity, I just wanted to give you a picture of our population in New Mexico. Since we have such a large Hispanic population, the Department of Health generally displays data with race and ethnicity combined. So whites make up about 47% of our population, followed by Hispanics and American Indians at 10%. And our American Indians are generally Navajo, Pueblo, and some Apache tribes. We have very small Black and Asian populations. So here are rates by race and ethnicity, and it really jumps out at you there. We have the race and ethnicity on the side, and then the different colored columns are age groups. And what you can see here is that American Indians are disproportionately affected by this infection, particularly those in the oldest age groups. So, and in fact, the rate ratio of American Indians to non-American Indians in the overall adult population, the rates are 3 times higher in American Indians. I should also mention that all the analyses, including race and ethnicity, we've removed 61 cases for whom we didn't have that information. So I won't say much about this other than the fact that the Emerging Infections Program collects about 20 different clinical syndromes, information on these clinical syndromes associated to invasive disease. But there were really only about 4 that jumped out in this population. Bacteremia without focus, skin and soft tissue infections, bone infections, and pneumonia. Bacteremia is essentially a bloodstream infection with no other focal point of disease. Skin and soft tissue infections and pneumonia were not considered sterile unless there was also a blood culture that was positive for group B strep or pleural fluid or some other sterile site. So in fact, 82% of our cases had positive blood cultures. Underlying conditions, we collect information on about 30 underlying conditions. And once again, there are about 6 that kind of jumped out at us in this analysis. You can see that 93% of this population had some underlying condition. The conditions that were most important in this group are diabetes, heart failure, and coronary artery disease, current alcohol abuse or cirrhosis, obesity, current smoking, and renal disease. And I want to focus a little bit on that 47% of folks with diabetes. So when you look at the rates in people with diabetes and the rates in people without diabetes, you can see that there's an 11 times increased risk in that diabetic population. So this is really serious in diabetics. Mortality. Not a real high mortality rate, about 11%, and of course the fatality rates are lowest in the younger age groups and higher in the older age groups. In the interest of time, I'm going to skip that. Okay, so for the rest of my presentation here, I'm going to talk a little bit about the American Indian population. You may remember when we talked about race and ethnicity, we saw that the rates were 3 times higher in that population. The American Indian population is about 10% of our overall population, but they make up 25% of our cases. So here are age groups, same age groups, similar picture, increase with age, but the rates in the 2 oldest age groups were between 4 and 5 times higher in American Indians versus non-American Indians. The same underlying conditions that we were looking at, and so on our horizontal axis here, we have the percent of cases with this condition listed in their chart. And I should mention that people frequently have more than one condition. And once again, there are some key things that jump out at us. Diabetes, the prevalence ratio is about 1.6. Alcohol abuse and cirrhosis and obesity are some key underlying conditions in this population. So just as a point of reference from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, these are prevalence rates of diabetes in the 3 populations that we're looking at, the U.S., New Mexico, and New Mexico American Indians. So I wanted to take a closer look at diabetes in these populations too. Now this is kind of a confusing chart to look at. Maybe there's a lot of information on it, but what we've done is separate the American Indians in that orange-yellow color, and the non-American Indians, and then stratify them by diabetes status. And you can see that the rate in American Indians with diabetes approaches 100 cases per 100,000, which is really substantial when you think of the overall rate, which was about 6 to 8 per 100,000. When you compare that with non-diabetic American Indians, the rate is 16 times higher in those with diabetes. And the rate is 3 times higher than non-American Indians with diabetes. So it appears that there's something going on here beyond just diabetes status. So same clinical syndromes, skin and soft tissue had a higher prevalence in the American Indian population. That's probably related to diabetic status. So finally, the good news for the American Indian population, and that is that the fatality rates are much lower, and that's probably, again, associated with the skin and soft tissue infections, which are probably less likely to be fatal than, for example, pneumonia. So to kind of wrap up here, here's our three populations that we were looking at. And just to note that the U.S. and the New Mexico rates are not that different. The median ages are similar. The underlying conditions of note are similar, as are the clinical syndromes. The major discrepancy between U.S. and New Mexico is the race or ethnicity of those at most risk. In New Mexico, it's American Indians. And you can see that the rates are double the U.S. rates. There are some factors that are associated with adult GBS infection in the American Indian population, such as diabetes. 65% of our cases that were American Indian had diabetes. Obesity and alcohol is something new that's not noted in the U.S. and other New Mexico populations. So just something to look at in the future. This was really the first time we got an opportunity to look at our surveillance data for invasive group B strep infection. It wasn't a notifiable condition until 2004. So now that we have a good chunk of data to look at, we've really noticed some things. Diabetes is huge, and American Indians in our state have much higher rates of diabetes. A sizable portion of our American Indian population lives in rural areas, and health clinics are available in key areas, but there's also issues around transportation to actually get to a clinic. You know, if any of you have ever been to New Mexico reservations in the winter, there's a chance you might not be able to get down the road that you want to drive on. So there are access to care issues, hygiene. You know, a lot of these older folks especially live in traditional housing that may not have a reliable source of running water for hygiene. Mobility, you know, maybe somebody in the family has a car to get you to the clinic, but they can't get your wheelchair in. So in the future, we'd like to do some further multivariate analyses, maybe looking at diabetes and some interactions with other factors, and in addition to investigating issues around perhaps nursing home residents in the older folks, access to care, hygiene, and some mobility issues. So I'll just close with a few more pictures of our beautiful New Mexico landscape and some acknowledgments to my coworkers. Thank you.